Matthew chapter 1, and we'll read verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. May we turn to one more portion from John 1. John 1, we read verse 3. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. We bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time, Lord, that you have given us, that we have read these verses. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have saved us. And Father, by this gospel, Lord, you have given us a hope. Father, we thank you for your word which says, the just shall live by faith. And we thank you, Father, that we can never grow tired of preaching this gospel to our own selves. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you saved us one day, but still, Father, we need this good news every moment. Father, we thank you. This good news is about your Son. Help us, Lord, as we study your word, that we would magnify your Son in our hearts. Oh, Father, that you would reveal unto us the glories of your Son. And Father, I especially pray for myself that you would give your word in its due season. Father, we pray that all glory would go to yourself. We pray this prayer and through the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm around this time in my college when all my friends left and right are planning things out. It's the fourth year of engineering and obviously it's time to move on. So when I was looking through the plans of all my friends one by one, I was just trying to see how much far-sighted could one be. Yeah, and when I looked at the plans, they were somewhere 5 years from here, 10 years from then. The max I could see one person saying 30 years from now. And I was wondering, why could one not think more than being at the age of 30? Why not think of what you'll be doing when you retire at the age of 60? Why not think of way beyond when you have no obligations whatsoever? Finally, it was boiling down to this question, what is life all about? Is it just some kind of career development and kind of planning you do? Yeah, earn a life and then make a wife and then make a family and that's all. I mean, there's nothing more than that. There should be some kind of reason for why we're living here. I mean, there's a reason for anything. I mean, not just for someone's existence, there's a reason for anything. For example, Bobby has put his drumsticks and I ask him why he's put it, he'll just say, I just put it like that. And if I ask, why is this VGA cable entangled? And there's a reason for that, because nobody saw when the wire of the piano is going through him. There's a reason why this diary is over here. Come on, you can open your eyes and see around. There is a reason for anything and everything. Yeah, there's a reason why this table is over here. A carpenter once upon a time made this. So then, how is it that everything around us has a reason except our own life? Even if everything around us, there is a reason for its existence, my question for you as if would be the title of today's message is, what on the earth are you doing? Why are you here on this earth? What is the reason that you have, what is the purpose for your living? If you go by the way a man would think of making a life and then going a haunt, but I'll tell you, the more than half of the babies that are born today won't even get to see what you're trying to say. What's life? What's life about? If you were to ask Hitler, or if you were to ask Teresa, or if you were to ask your own self, for all of these three different kinds of people, what is life? Not just what is life, I mean, why are you here? Who brought you here in? And if someone did bring you here, what in the world was his plan? What was his purpose for you to come here? And that's why we read this verse from John 1 and verse 3. All things, whether they were created, were made by him. That's Lord Jesus Christ. Essentially, I could make it as simple as it sounds, that you are on this earth because of Jesus Christ. He is the only reason why you have life in you. And if you read this verse, it says not just you. It says all things. Whether you look through a telescope and you see stars that are so gigantic, too far for you to see with your naked eyes, or if you were to see through a microscope and see microbes that are too small for you to see with your naked eyes, and everything that's in between, this verse says Lord Jesus is the creator. Or better said, he is the reason. The word of God says that by the word of his mouth, the heavens were made, and by his breath, the stars of the heavens. Even the word of God says that if at all there are some foxes in a very far stretched jungle who have found their holes to sleep tonight, He is the reason for that. If there are birds around this area that have made their nest night and are resting, he is the reason. And if there are lions and there are cubs of lion that are hungry and are suffering hunger, again, he knows it. The reason why you saw a morning today, it's because he said he has commanded the morning to come over you. The reason why you could see the dawn today, it's again the same. He brought it up. The reason why you can look in the vast oceans that are so limitless, every river, every fountain, every groundwater that you cannot see, and then say all of it has been measured by God, not in a tub or something, in the very hollow of his hand. That's enough for him. And it's also said that he has measured the dimensions of this whole sky, whether it be over India or whether it be at any other part of the world. He has measured it. And it says that he has measured even the soil of the earth, no matter how deep, 20 feet deep, he has measured it. Yeah, and he says that all the mountains of the earth have been on his balance span. He has even measured that. This is what the Bible says. Before him, the nations are a drop of a bucket. Not just a drop of a bucket. It says they are insignificant and absolutely nothing. And then the Lord says that for him, for the Lord Jesus, the islands that are there scattered, they are dust for him. And the amount of knowledge that's in Christ, it beats down Google and all of internet in it, would just be ABCD for him. You can even say that even those scorpions that are in a very vast desert that nobody would care, God cares to give its meat in the due season. And the Lord says that he has put out a line across all the land, a line that is just has fine grain, so that the monstrous waves, the proud waves, would not still cross it. And if you read the news today in the winter season that such and such city or such and such nation woke up to a white morning and there was snow all over, the Lord says, forget the snow. The Lord says there is a storehouse of snow and an armory of hailstones that he has reserved for the end times. And not just that, it's written that even if a city is flooded with rains and there are heavy rains, God decides how the water should flow through its channel. God makes its part, whether it should be flushed out into the sea or should it be vaporized. Not just that, God even makes a way for a thunder. Even if a lightning shines, he knows the directions with which it has gone and he makes a path for the thunder that follows. He has the command to say go and the lightning will go. Maybe in the jungles, the lioness would go and pray and try to hunt and try to find a meat, but the Bible says it is the Lord who gives the prey for the lioness and satisfies the appetite of a lion. Many insignificant things that you would not notice, but the Lord says he clothes the lilies of the valleys, the blades of the grass, they would not fade away if he doesn't say to fade. And this is what the Word of God says, that God has numbered the hair on your head, he has numbered what's fallen, and he has numbered what, if at all, it comes back. He says that not one hair will turn black and white without his knowledge. Are you getting a picture of who is Lord Jesus? The Word of God says that he created everything for him and by him. And the psalmist says, come and magnify the Lord with me. If you know of a magnifying glass, you take it, what is it used for? It's used for small and minuscule stuffs. But why is the psalmist saying, magnify the Lord? It's because the world today and what we have learned from traditions and what the world will teach you is a very, very belittled God. I can tell you that the God you know is not the God of the Bible. The God, the image and personality, the knowledge you have of God is so little, the psalmist says, let us blow that image out of proportion. Yeah, he needs to be known to the whole world in his true form. And you know what God says at the end of his description? He says he is the reason why you are here. He says he is the reason why you are living. And when you are not, he will still be the reason. Because he says it is appointed for man once to die. This God is the reason why you are here and he will soon be the reason when you die. Let me ask you one of the most important questions that you could ever face in your life. What would you do when you die? The Bible says you have an appointment with God. Prophet Amos said it this way, prepare to meet your God. That day is soon coming. You don't need to plan 5 years or 10 years ahead. Very soon that day may come. It is appointed for man to die once and then there is judgment. Yeah. You will have to give an account of every sin you have done and who the person you have been on this earth. You will give an account not to a very strange, ancient, foreign God. You are giving an account to a God who is more closer to you than your own parents. Very soon the Lord will tell you, time is up. I'm asking you, are you prepared to meet your God? It's only one thing to realize how great and how majestic this God is, but there is something more to realize about Him. That's why we'll read this verse we read in the beginning, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. This same unimaginably great, imponderable God became a baby. If you want to bring man and God together on the same pedestal, I cannot give you an analogy for that. It cannot be like an ant or an elephant or an ant or a dinosaur or an ant or a big mountain or a galaxy, because God is infinite. Because God is so great. But this verse says He limited Himself to a human form. He became a man. Can you imagine the God who has measured the whole waters in His hand or the hollow of His hand? He becomes a helpless babe. And when He became a baby, He was given a name. That name is Jesus. I can tell you from history that this name Jesus was not a very, very strange name or very, very unique name. It was a very common name during those days. Yeah, Josephus tells that there were so many people with that same name Jesus in his whole records. But I'm telling you, when this name was given to this little baby boy, he was the only one who was worthy to carry that name according to its meaning. Because it's written, He will deliver His people from their sins. May I tell you, this God left the heavens, He left the glory, He became poor, He became weak, He became a helpless babe, just for mine and your sin. If you want to know why Lord Jesus came into this world, He's the one who has answered it the best. It's written, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we also read that He has come to call every sinner unto repentance. This is what is written. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world, that's you and me, everybody, through Him might be saved. And this is what's written, that the Father sent His Son, Lord Jesus, into this world to be the Savior of this world. And the Lord Himself says, I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. I'm asking you, if He is the reason why you are here, then ask the reason, why did He come down to this earth? What is the reason that He came down for you? Is there anything good in you? It's written that this is a saying that's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners like you and me. It will be shocking to see how great God is. Equally shocking to see that this great God became a baby, and now the third shock is this, that this great God died. He is written that the Prince of Life, He gave His life for me and for you. On the Roman cross, His blood was so much drained out that at the end, water started gushing out. And it was written that His face was disfigured more than anyone could recognize whether He's a man at all. Still, He was God. I'm telling about your sins that was so great, so abominable. It was such a disgust to God that God Himself died for you. I'm talking of someone who spilled His blood for your life, though you are seated here. I'm talking of someone who was sinless and perfect, but on the cross, He became the vilest sinner ever who lived. And I'm talking of one who God the Father judged Him as if He did all the sins we have been doing. But I'm not talking of a dead God. I'm talking of a God who said, come unto me. He said, today is the day of salvation. I'm talking of a God who is living so that you can come and run unto Him. There is no way you will obtain salvation. No way you could go to heaven to God if you are still in your sins. But if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sins, absolutely everything. It's written that He was resurrected on the third day, a living God, not a God who was dead, not a God who has eyes and cannot see, or mouth and cannot speak, but a God who is living and resurrected and in heaven glorified. He is still the God who is taking care of this world. He is the reason why you even heard this message. And his message for you is, come unto me. Come to Jesus Christ because he died for you. In his name be glorified.